Well, good morning, everyone. So today we're actually going to talk about how the Bible passage that we've just heard encourages all to be carnivorous hunters, right? Because that's what Peter's... No, not at all. That's not where we're going. Don't worry. Some of you know that I finished Arrow leadership last year. For those of you who don't know what Arrow is, Julian's done an awful job in his 18 months here. But no, it's a Christian leadership program, and I finished the Emerging Leaders program, which is designed for those who are engaged in vocational ministry. So they also have an Executive Leaders program for those who are in nonprofit and education sectors. If you've ever thought about doing it, it's an amazing opportunity to really press into who you are as a leader, not just sort of do all the other things. Anyway, one of the things that you do across the course of Arrow is write a personal vision statement. So it's not really like one of those like one-line sentence things. Mine is a whole typed page. And it's meant to describe who you are and why you are here. So one of the paragraphs of my vision statement reads like this. My time on this earth is grounded in my belief that the message of the gospel is hope and love, and that that message has been hidden behind the walls of institutions and buildings for too long. I long to find ways to break this hope and love out into the world for the next generations to see more people transformed by Christ through his Spirit. And today, that's what I want us to talk about. The title of this final sermon in our compelling community series through the first part of Acts is Community Beyond Our Comfort Zone. And I want us to ask this question. Are we ready to open the doors of the church to those seeking God, no matter who they are? And I feel like over the last 12 months, we've done a good job of this as people have walked into this building, but there's so much more to be done. So we're going to work through this passage, and we're going to start with how God speaks, because God speaks in community. So he did this before. Anyone who was paying attention last week, you'll notice that actually God did almost exactly the same thing with Paul and Ananias last week, had a message for one and a message for the other and sent them to be together. Now, they both, though, were within Israel. This week, though, he does it again with Peter and Cornelius. Peter, one of the apostles, Cornelius, a God-fearing centurion. Now, he's well-respected by the Jews, but he's not part of the Jewish community. And what I want to highlight here at the start is that when God speaks, he doesn't do so in isolation. He does this in community. And he does this sometimes in ways beyond our comfort zone. How wonderful, though, is it that God chooses to use us to speak to one another in community? I don't know about you, but I've had messages from different people at times, of scriptures or just things that they felt that they had on their heart, that there's no way that they could have even known what was going on in my life at the time. It's such an amazing thing to be used by God to speak to people in community. And so he uses other people of faith to work in our lives. That's one of the reasons why we come in to community together. But God can also use us to speak to those who are outside of our community, with people whom we wouldn't have chosen him to use, or people that we don't have any knowledge of or know anything of. Julian's story last week, he talked about a woman on a train that he sat opposite and God said, you know, gave him the nudge. And I sat there listening to that story going, oh my gosh, how many times has God done that to me and I've done exactly the same thing? There's been times that we felt this nudge from God. Or maybe we don't know that it's from God. Maybe it's just a sense in our spirit that we need to speak to someone, that we just need to say something, and maybe we haven't listened. Don't sit in guilt of not having done it. But next time God asks you to do it, maybe consider answering that little nudge in your spirit. Because I want us to consider whether we're willing to go beyond our comfort zone to allow God to use us. Cornelius is a centurion. He's part of the Roman culture. He has no, well, yes, okay, so he has relationships with the Jewish people in his town of Caesarea. This angel appears to him and says, you need to send for Peter. Put yourself in Cornelius's shoes for a moment. I'm not entirely sure that it's quite as simple in your heart as going, oh yeah, you guys go quick. Go to this guy who's an apostle who walked alongside Jesus. Now, I've heard the stories about who this guy is, but I don't know a lot about it. Peter outlines it. You've got to remember that these people lived in the same day and age of Jesus. They'd heard the stories about what was going on. Cornelius would have known who Peter was to some extent, though he may not have known that it was Peter that he was sending for. And then, so he sends his guys. But then Peter is sitting in Joppa and Peter answers the call. And so the next question I want to ask us is, are we listening to listen when God sends us to those that we would consider unclean? Because God welcomes the stranger into community. And if this story teaches us anything, and there's the only thing we take away from this, that is the gospel is for everyone and it is a message that is inclusive for all people. The Jews would not have come into Cornelius's home. Peter straight out says it. You know that my law forbids me from doing this. And yet he was a man who sought to have a relationship with the God of Israel. And God has given Peter this vision in Joppa, just before Cornelius's servants arrive. A vision of animals, both clean and unclean, all mixed in together. It'd be very easy for Peter to take this literally and go, great, we can just go eat everything. He doesn't take it literally. Instead, he sees the message and the heart behind it from God. Through Jesus, God has washed all people clean, not just those who are a part of his chosen people, Israel. And so God, with this message to Cornelius, and we've seen little sort of bits and pieces previous to this starting, God is opening up to the Gentiles in Acts. But he's continuing the path of his always intended plan to reach the whole world through the chosen people of Israel. Fallible humans might have taken that plan off course over generations, but the infallible God knows what he is doing. And he wants to welcome those that his people might have previously decided they were unable to associate with. As I've been preparing for this sermon, there's been a lot going on in my world around me. My older brother lost his best friend a week and a half ago, a guy who spent most of our childhood at our house. We might not never know how he passed. And I've been reflecting on the people who are in our world who need the hope and love of Jesus. And they want or might desire to have a relationship with Jesus and with the one true God, the one that we know, and yet will never walk through the doors of this or any other church building. And that is on us, the church. Because too often the church and many Christians are known for what they're against, not what they are for. But the message of Jesus is hope and love. And I feel like we've been hiding that message from the world. Peter listens to the call of God and he goes 30 miles, which is whatever it is, something. I forgot the number. Up the road. Yeah, something like that, 50 Ks, yeah, maybe, like something like that. Which to us is like not that far, right? But if you don't have cars, it's a much, much longer journey. to go to the house of this person that he has no idea who it is, what he's going to find when he gets there, no idea whether it's a trap. Remember, the Christians are starting to be persecuted at this point, mostly by the Jews at this point, but you know. And yet he answers the call of God to go. Are we willing to answer the call of God to go into the world? I've been reflecting on the people that I know who don't know God in the course of this as well. People who don't know Jesus. And I feel like there's been this shift. I follow Alpha Australia on Instagram. And all the questions that they ask, like, you know, how do I pray? What do I do? You know, I just sit there and I'm like, great questions. But they're not the questions that most people under the age of 40 are asking. How do we actually go into the world with the questions that are being asked? Because it's good to have answers to the questions the world has for us, but actually I wonder whether the world isn't even asking the questions that we think that they're asking anymore. Instead, it feels like we're coming into a season of the church where we actually just need to come to those outside with no judgment and the hope and love of Christ. And so we need to consider what it looks like for us to reach those in the community around us. Who are the people that God is welcoming that we might think otherwise of? And for each of us in our own communities, that's going to be different people. Who are the people in our lives that we've kind of just gone, oh, you know what, no matter what I say or do, they are just never going to hear the message of Jesus that I have for them? Who have we inadvertently decided almost doesn't need to know God? And how do we show them love in order that we, as a community, can welcome the stranger? Because it's our turn. It is our turn now to be the people who go out into the world. We are the hands and feet of Christ. God could use anyone. He doesn't even need any of us to bring people to him. But he chooses to use each and every single one of us who he has brought into his family to be the people who go out into the world and share his love. Because it's not our job to determine who is in and who is out. God's the one who makes that call. He works in the heart. And we don't know whether the person that we have tried. Actually, we just need to introduce him to a friend. Julian's story last week, again. The guy who he took too long to introduce to his Christian friends. I'm using Julian's stories because they're fresh in my mind. But our role in the kingdom of God is to love and welcome those who don't yet know him. And in the midst of this world that's becoming more and more polarizing, the church is one place where the different things that we seem to end up on opposite spectrums of shouldn't be an issue. The kingdom of God is where all are welcome, no matter what their background. Cornelius would have been the epitome of all of the things that the Jewish people despised. He was a centurion. That meant that he oversaw armies. He oversaw men. He was part of the persecution of Israel in their own land. But the only qualification that we have to being accepted into this family of God is to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. And we need to rethink our approach to those who are outside the church, but also those inside the church and how we come together. How do we open our hearts to those who might have different views on politics or economics or any, insert any sort of modern thing that we're dealing with to us. I can guarantee you that in this room, we have the entire spectrum. But we are all family in Christ. We are all brought together in Him. And we all read the scriptures and can justify our reasoning of standing where we stand through the scriptures. And that's absolutely fine. But most importantly, we all believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Saviour. So I want to encourage us. We all have prejudices that are built into our worldview based upon where we grew up and who we grew up with and the jobs that we have and the industries we've worked in and all of those things. And they might find us favouring a certain type of person or trying to avoid another type of person. We've all got that type of person we avoid, let's be honest. But we are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all brought together in the kingdom of God. And as we seek to be a church that reaches out into the community around us, if that is truly our desire as God's people, and I want to say that it should be, because I'm pretty sure that's what this Bible tells us to do, that we need to come back to Him, to be reminded that we are all one in Him, and that He wants to invite in every person that walks past these doors and every person that is part of our lives. And as His people, that's the joyful role that we get to play to help others know Him. So friends, are we ready to open the doors of the church to seeking, to those seeking God? No matter who they might be, may be, and let Him work in their lives as He has done in ours. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You that You have called us together to be His people, to be Your people, to stand here in Your church, to declare the goodness of who You are. And that we pray that we would be willing to hear a message from You if You have it to be given, and to take that step to reach those who don't yet know You. Lord, we pray that You would give us courage and strength in times of uncertainty, of not knowing what we might say to those around us. But Lord, let us show our difference through Your love. Let us use our words, but also our actions, to show people Your goodness, so that more may come to know You and we may build Your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.